know them, like, if say if my grandfather appeared and I was sure it was my grandfather, then him I would probably speak to. Mm-hmm. Or
they're just a strange.
If it's a stranger, I mean, I don't know who they are. I'm an introvert. I don't like to talk to living people that often. So, yeah, so, you know, dead people, I don't know. We're asking a lot here, but...
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So we are very excited to have with us Tara Teresa Hill, who is an author and storyteller, and she has The Ghost Post, which I'm looking at right now.
Right. Yes, we are so happy to have you here. Jaquetta had met you once before at a convention, and she immediately texted me and said, here's a great person we think our listeners would really enjoy. And because we have a segment on our show called Tales Around the Campfire.
What?
Tales from
Der Campfire.
Tales from Der Campfire.
Where we retell stories of the paranormal, folklore, urban legends, ghost stories.
So scary stuff.
Scary stuff.
And we tell it around the digital campfire. Yeah. So that's one of our segments that we do. So we say, oh boy, we can't wait to talk
someone
about.
Who actually had some paranormal experiences and who was a writer.
Yes. So you have this blog wherein these are real ghost stories. This is, now how do you find people?
Okay, well, I start off with the blog just writing about my own experiences for the most part. And then as I put up, you know, here's my experience, contact me if you have an experience that you want to share. That's what basically started. You know, first it was family members contacting me, and then later on it became people that I don't even know. I'm like, I have someone from England. From Wales, who contacted me, and I have his stories on the blog.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm. Yeah, so it's really exciting, and basically what I do is I set up an interview time with them. I do it over the phone, mm-hmm. or in case with England, he actually just emailed it to me, and I kind of, you know, went by his notes, and mm-hmm. I wrote up the story. Basically, the whole thing is that I write up my own telling of the story.
Okay.
That's awesome.
But these are people that really experience these things. These are not, like, manufactured stories. Like,
no, they're not manufactured. What I do is, I put it to people this way. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're telling me this happened to them. I'm going to take them at their word.
Okay.
I let my readers decide. You know, some people, I don't know, they might be making them up. I put it out there that I'm just going to take them at their word and everybody else can decide on their own.
That's kind of our approach as well.
Yeah.
Like, when we read stories from the internet, we're like, well, we'll tell them and we'll talk about them. Some of them seem more credible than others.
Yeah.
Some of them we feel like we could diagnose, like, yeah, this definitely sounds like a shadow person.
Yeah.
Or this definitely sounds like a demon. Others, I'm like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
This sounds like this actually might have been the wind.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, especially the ones where you see the ghost animals.
Yes.
It's like,
might be a cat.
It might be an actual cat.
Could be a cat.
The people say this.
You know.
But I went to your blog and I read the story, and the one that I really liked, there was something about it. It was the psychic who went through the house. Yeah, she her name was Sandra, and she's a Reiki master, a teacher in Canada.
Yes.
And so she said a client was having trouble. There were spirits in the house, and she doesn't really do the whole spirit cleansing, but she's like, let me go and see what I can do. But she found a couple of spirits that she was able to help move over into the next in the hereafter. But there was the ghost of an old Italian woman with curly hair that appeared to her. She had a heavy energy that infused herself in the house, and she wouldn't leave. And then Sandra talked to her a little more, and she said she was scared because she was afraid she'd be punished in the afterlife for what she did.
Well, I mean, how she explained it to me was that the spirit was afraid of moving on because she hadn't been the best person in life.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe been grumpy, or she was just worried about the things that she had done or had experiences that she felt might condemn her, I guess. You know, there was this fear of having died and what was in the afterlife. And so what Sandra did was she called on Archangel Raphael,
mm-hmm.
who's, you know, a great healer. He's the healer of souls. He's a physical healer, mental healer. He's just a great healer. And so he came forward, apparently, and helped guide the soul into the afterlife, which I thought was just beautiful.
That is.
You know, I thought that was really wonderful. And we had a whole... I mean, there's stuff that doesn't even get into the story because there's so many... People just start talking to me about everything, about their beliefs in the afterlife.
That's fascinating. And,
you know, yeah, I mean, there's all these notes I have. I'm like, I can't get this into the story because...
So you basically... Yeah. People come with experiences that mm-hmm. they have, and they relate them to you, and then you, as a writer... kind of create a narrative structure for
right.
it
and
so that it's something that can be told to other people succinctly is what I'm
correct.
Guessing, right?
Yeah.
So how did you first decide to do the Ghost Post?
I had been working for a while on a ghost story novel that I've been writing. I'm still working on it. But I was working on it and I said, you know, I have no presence on Facebook, I have no presence on Twitter or anything.
Because you're working.
Right, I'm working.
Like,
yeah. Well, not only that, but no.
You're
but,
writing.
Yeah, that yeah. is true. And you do, it's a really hard balance to get, honestly. I'm always struggling with how much time do I give to the creative and how much time do I give to promotion. But what they always say in all the books on writing is you have to build your author platform. That's a necessary thing. If you don't have one, it doesn't matter how good your book is, it'll never sell.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, what can I do? And I kept reading, a writer must have a blog. And I said, well, I tried a blog before and it didn't work. You know, I don't really, at the time, I didn't really love writing blogs. Because I said it takes away from the the more creative to me story.
Yeah, and
time.
Then it's just out there.
Yeah.
And then it's just out there
yeah.
and no one reads it. I said, what's
yeah.
the point of this? But then I said to myself, but you know what? If I could write a blog on ghosts, I would be super happy. I would be really happy because that's what I love to write about. And so I came up with this idea. I had seen all these blogs on, you know, the technical aspects of ghosts, like what kind of hauntings there
mm-hmm.
are
mm-hmm.
and everything. But I hadn't really seen, and I'm not saying they don't exist. So I don't want to insult anybody, you know, anybody else. I hadn't really seen many where it was the stories. I'd seen ones where they said, submit your story and we'll just put it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't seen one where it was all the same writer and that they were, you know, writing up the stories for people. So I said, that's what I'm going to do.
It's such a great idea.
It's such a good
idea. And
yeah.
we've been doing this for 7 years and doing Tales from Dirk Campfire for almost as long as we've been doing the podcast. We haven't run across anything like that. And we scour the internet for ghost stories.
Right.
So that's one thing that I found interesting is that, yes, these are people's stories, but you're telling them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're the reporter.
Yeah. And so...
Just the facts.
I feel like... But in a way, though, it makes the stories better because a lot of times we read... People have had a paranormal experience, but they're not a writer or a great storyteller. So we read a lot of stories where, you know, it's 4 paragraphs long. The first 2 paragraphs is talking about the location. It's like it was 1 hour from here and then, you know, down the corner
kitchen,
from here.
There's an island in the center of the kitchen.
And you're like, well, what about the ghost?
Yeah. You have to know that there are big windows,
yeah.
you know, in the house. And it's just like.
And my Uncle Charlie at one point, it's like, what about the ghost?
Yeah.
You know, what happened?
Yeah.
So that's what's different about what you're doing is that you're a writer telling these stories in a very artful way.
Yeah.
Right?
So why are you interested in ghosts and hauntings? You find them fascinating and have since childhood.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
What's.
Well, part of why I find ghosts and or spirits, I think they prefer to be called spirits sometimes, but the reason why I find them so fascinating, I guess, is kind of goes back to how I was raised, where my mom raised me to believe in ancestral spirits and that, you know, there are people that came before. And so I've always been really interested in history. Like, I'll go to visit a building and I'll, you know, like even in here, or I'll go to, you know, a museum and I'll look at something that I know was once in someone's house and I'll think that's a fascinating thing. So I think for me it's a connection to the past that really makes me interested in ghosts. But, you know, I've also had my experiences with them, so...
Oh, really?
That would be, yeah. In fact, the first one I had was actually... it was related to my mom's store. Because my mom had this store in the village.
Okay.
And it was across the street from this really big building we thought was a church. And her store was in the village. It was one of those stores where, you know, where there's a business on the bottom and then there's another business on top. It was actually an apartment building,
okay.
a loft that she rented out to be a store. And so I'm in the back room. It was a huge place. I'm in the back room playing, and there's this window. And she had set up a little play table, and I'm staring out the window doing the whole, you know, kid dazing off fantasy kind of thing. And it's, I believe it must have been at night, because she had the store open late at night, and sometimes I was there, especially on the weekend, when she didn't really have a lot of people to watch me. So I'm playing, and across the street was this really, you could see, like, this big tower, and you could see a lighted window and a clock tower. That was okay. The clock tower. And so I'm looking at it, and suddenly I see this woman staring at me from the clock tower, and so she waves at me, I wave at her, and I think, wow, that's fascinating. Someone's up there this late at night. Mm-hmm. And so I tell my mother, and she comes in to check what I'm saying, you know, thinking I'm playing a game or something, and of course there's no one there. Hmm. And so she keeps, you know, she keeps telling me there was no one up there, and I'm telling her, but Mommy, there was. And now she knows that wasn't one. If I was making up a story, I would tell her. I wasn't a kid to lie or to play a joke on her. This happened more than once. It happened like two or three times until finally she said, you know what, we're going to go check this out. And so we went across the street, and it turns out that it was a library.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a library. And we go in there. I think it's the Washington, I think it's called the Washington Square Library. I think that's the name of it. We go inside. And we go right up to the librarian. I see the stairs to the tower, meanwhile. I'm like, wow, Mom, look. She's like, yeah, it's roped off. You can't go up there. So we go and we speak to the librarian. And she says to the librarian, in a sort of desperate kind of parent kind of thing, could you please tell my daughter that there's no one up in the clock tower? That, you know, there's no possible way for someone to get up there at night? And she looks at my mom and she says, well, I'd like to, but that's not the case, per se. And so I explained to the librarian what I've been seeing, you know, this woman waving from up there. And so the librarian told me about the history of the place, which was basically it used to be a woman's prison.
Wow. Oh, I don't know about this place.
Wow.
Yeah. I believe, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Washington. I'm so bad. I'm bad with names and dates. That's okay. What's really horrible. But if you look in on the blog, you can see it. I wrote it up in detail because I always make sure to put the names and dates in the blog stories, of course. But, yeah, it ended up being a woman's prison. And I just said to my mom, but why is she still up there? And that kind of, you know, started a very sad discussion that she really didn't want to get into about, you know, people suffering. Mm-hmm. Maybe she had jumped from there or something. So, you know, again, it ties to the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm always interested in how the past kind of, I was thinking even about this day, do they overlap? Is there a moment where they kind of intersect each other and I can see it?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or, but I'm not sure if that theory works. I just, I like to theory, you know, I like to think about it.
Did you, what kind of a feeling did you get from the woman that you saw? Was it, were you afraid? Or were you sad? Did you want to reach out to her?
I don't really remember. I didn't feel threatened, that's for sure. I mean, she was so far away, but I didn't feel sad per se. I just thought, there's a woman up there. Okay, she's waving. She seems friendly. I'll wave back.
Yeah.
You know, just as simple as that. Very childlike simplicity.
I love that, unlike in a lot of stories that we read, I love that your mother did something positive as opposed to just being like, I don't want to hear about this, you're making things up. Because a lot of the stories that we read, when people talk about when they were a child and they had a paranormal experience, the adults around them immediately deny it.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, no, my mom, I mean,
instead of investigating, which is what you and your mom basically did.
Well, yeah, well, my mom, I mean, she kind of, she's a Wiccan high priestess. Her name is Lady Rhea, so she actually is into that and supportive of that and everything. So she definitely wanted to double check and see what was going on. She's always been very supportive that way.
That's awesome.
So is this something in your family? You said the first ghost stories really came from your family. So is this a thing that in your family people see?
People are sensitive.
See spirits and.
I'm not sure if it's a thing in our family. I'm sure my family, when they hear this, will probably go, "Oh no!" I mean, They've had their experiences. Like my dad has seen stuff. My mom has seen stuff. I mean, I don't think they see them as regularly as I have per se. But my mom, you know, doing circles and things like that, or working working with the spiritual side of things, she's definitely open to it.
I see.
That's interesting.
Wow. So you see them fairly frequently, or how?
I wouldn't say frequently. I mean, I see them more if I'm in a place to see them. Like when I was in college, for example, or the College of Mount St. Vincent in Riverdale, New York, very haunted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, not in a scary way. They are great spirits because I don't feel they're trying to bother anybody. They're kind of more in the background, and I only saw them mostly when the college was very quiet.
Really? I would say it's a beautiful campus.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, it doesn't look like much from the outside, but once you walk into it, it's very pastoral, and it definitely has, you have a feeling when you're on the campus. I don't know if it's because of the older buildings that are there or the way that it's laid out, but when you step onto the campus, you feel as if you've really left whatever was on the road out there.
Really?
Like you've left the Bronx and now you're in this campus.
Yeah.
So when you stepped onto the campus, mm-hmm. I mean, how is it for you? What is the experience like? How do you feel? Or are you like, oh, am I going to see something here? I don't know.
No, I fell in love with that place. That's why I went there. I wanted to be an English major and take a writing minor. So, I mean, they had the course I wanted. It's not the only reason, but I tell you, I just walked on and it felt like home. I was just so comfortable there. And I had such a great time there. The years that I was there, I met my husband there. You know, it's just fantastic. But you know, when it's empty, I think that's when they come out. Or late at night. I mean, the security guards all had stories about, you know, seeing ghosts. Yeah, like there was one guard. I don't remember his name. We had a bunch of them, but one of the guards told us a story one night, and he might have been pulling our chain, but I actually believe him.
Yeah.
He said that a partner of his, like, you know, how they would do rounds together. One of them was driving around the campus late at night. And he had been, you know, doing the rounds. And he sees someone walking on the side of the road. And he sees it's a sister of charity. Maybe, you know, I don't think, I'm not sure what clothes she wore, but he could tell she was a sister of charity.
Let me just jump in for a second. Oh, sure. Everyone should know that College of Mount St. Vincent's, there are also a lot of nuns who reside there.
Because it's
a Catholic college.
It's Catholic
college, so
it wasn't
just a random system of charity.
Yeah.
A sister of charity.
It's actually such a grant.
Yeah, that's why I just want to throw that in there.
So there are nuns on site.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and for the most part, they wear modern clothes. So I don't know. He didn't describe what her clothes looked like, but he knew she was a sister.
Okay.
So he's calling out to her, thinking maybe she wants a lift back to the building
mm-hmm.
or wherever she's going. And he sees her turn into Merrillac, which Merrillac Hall is the oldest building on campus, the oldest dorm building. It's like somewhere from the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And, it's like original to the college, pretty much. And he sees her going, and he's following her now because he has to go that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees her walk up to the porch. Now, the porch, very beautiful, Merrillac porch, but it's locked, so you can't get in. There's only one entrance to the building that way, you know, for safety reasons. So he sees her walk up the stairs, and he's trying to tell her that she can't go in that way. He's calling out, sister, sister, you can't go in that way. What are you doing? And then he said she turned around, and she had no face. And then she just disappeared.
The no face part.
Now, there's a legend that there is a sister charity who walks up Merrillac Hill, which is that whole hill that runs by that area. So I'm actually very surprised that he didn't put two and two together when he saw that figure. I'm like, oh, man, I would have just been like, go the other way. She doesn't answer you. Just go up that way.
Yeah, most definitely. So, of the stuff that you've written in the Ghost Post, do you have a favorite story that you'd like to tell us a little bit about?
Favorite story.
And you don't have to tell the whole story because listeners could always go to the blog.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what would be my favorite story? I mean, I know mine better than I know other people's, so it's a thing. I'll tell you this one about my mom. And, like, my mom's dog passed away. I know people love pet stories.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom's dog passed away, and she was very, 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 very sad about it. And she had gotten, like, my mom almost does this thing. Her beloved pet dies. She goes out and finds a new one almost immediately. I'm telling you, 2 weeks. She needs the love, and she wants to spread the love. So she already had two new dogs now. And she's calling me up, and she's crying about, Merlin, I miss my Merlin, my baby boy. And I don't know what to do. And I just said, oh, my goodness. But I said, Mom, I'm sure he's around you. And she was crying because she told me, I cannot sense him. I don't know where he is. I would think I would sense him, but, you know, maybe he's upset with me because I got the two dogs. I said, Ma, I don't think so. And so she was really, really upset. And so I told her, all right, you know what? How about this? Just breathe. I'm sure it's fine. Why don't you talk to him? You know, light a candle to him or whatever. You've done that before for, you know, her years ago when her cat Gypsy passed away. She lit a candle and got two cats. So this seems to be a thing with my mom. They sent her pets. So I get off the phone with her, and I just think to myself for a minute. I say out loud, because they say it's important to talk to the spirits out loud. So I said out loud, Merlin, if you can hear me, please give Mom a sign that you're there, because she's really upset, and she's calling me every morning upset, and I really feel bad for her. So if you can hear me, I know you didn't always adore me, but if you can, no, you really didn't. Growled at me, I swear, the week before he died, he told me off. So I said, if you could just hear me and do this for me, that would be great. If you could do it for Mom, that would be terrific. Not maybe 15 minutes later, she calls me back, and she's telling me that she was sitting on the couch, and that she was thinking of Merlin, and she was crying, and then suddenly out of nowhere, one of his toys fell at her feet. And she doesn't know where it was. It wasn't on the couch. She had taken up all his old toys, because it wasn't even like a ball. It was one of those chew sticks.
Ooh.
So she thought she had thrown it out. And she says,
here it comes.
And found it at my feet.
Wow.
And it wasn't there when she sat down. So she actually heard like something like that.
Ooh.
So I was like, well, Mom, you got your answer.
No, I mean, you called that one up, so.
I said, and I told her about it. I said, really, that's what happened? And I told her what I did. She said, oh, my God. He did it. He listened to you. I said, I guess so. You feel better? She said, yes, I feel better. And after that, she started to heal. So, and now she's really attached to these other two and goes on about them the same way.
Katie mentioned, I did meet Tara Teresa Hill at a Star Trek convention. My husband is a huge fan. Her husband is a huge fan. And I was thrilled to go to her session because it was not about Star Trek. it was one of the, and I really enjoyed it. But what I really liked is how all of your ghost stories, at least the stories that you told, were very positive.
Mm-hmm.
So her stories were not about menacing ghosts or evil or demons or anything. It was about encounters that you had that were somewhat positive. So has that been generally your experience with paranormal stuff?
You mean my personal experience?
Yeah.
It's mostly been positive, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, if you go looking for something, man, you will find it. I mean, one time I specifically ran into something negative was when I went to one of those asylums on a ghost tour.
Oh.
You know, unfortunately, yeah, I did. I mean, not personally. It didn't come and attack me. The tour guide called the spirit into the room. It's called, I think it's called Nightfall of Penhurst is the story. And
oh.
I just, the moment the tour guide said, okay, so we're going to try to call this guy in, I'm like, why? I'm like sitting there going, why? I'm like holding on to my St. Michael pendant like, oh, dear. I'm like, I don't want this.
What happened? Well, it's in there. We can read the story.
It was really disturbing. It was the doctor's ghost that had come. That there was a doctor who basically didn't care about the patients, treated them like they were, you know, a blight on society, and they would do experiments on them.
So this was an old facility.
Yeah,
okay.
Penhurst Asylum. I think it has a longer name, but yeah, it's Penhurst, and it was just really depressing, and I did spiritual cleansing before I got in the car. I did spiritual cleansing when I got home. I was just like, that was some heavy, heavy energy.
And also you don't want anything to follow you. We always read about paranormal investigators who say exactly what you said. Don't call for negative things.
No.
Because if it does come to you, you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know that it's not going to stay with you.
Yeah,
just because you walk out of the room, it doesn't mean...
Yeah, it doesn't mean that the entity is going to stay in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, people have definitely told me some sad stories and some scary stories, and I've written them up for the blog, and I always write them up with, like, a pit in my stomach, because I don't even want to write about it. But I do it because, you know, they gave me the story, I'm going to write about it. You need to talk about everything. But it just always makes me feel so uncomfortable to write about these experiences. I've had people tell me about seeing red eyes, hearing growling.
What is that? People see that?
The red eyes and growling?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would say the red eyes
might be shadow people.
Sometimes they think it might be a negative entity kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, my mom once did a cleansing to get rid of to get rid of some sort of entity or bad ghost from her friend's house, and that's in the blog too. I think I called that one The Banishing.
Wow.
And
that was really scary. Was it effective?
Yeah, I believe it was effective.
Well, then it's a happy ending.
But it was really scary, and that was one of the times I saw a full-blown apparition that I... Well, not a full-blown apparition, but an apparition that I was not happy to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was one of those shared experiences because basically the coven, she had collected her coven members, and I was one of them. She said, I need your help. Can you do that? I said... Sure, why not? I mean, my growing up with my mother has given me some really interesting experiences.
She sounds like a fascinating person.
She really is. So I'm doing the cleansing with her, you know, with her and the other coven members, and we're running around, and I swore I saw a floating white face. Maybe 3 feet, 4 feet off the ground, so child-sized. And it was in a pitch black room, and this face was white smoke, and it was glowing. And I was just like this, like...
Was that what was called to the room, or is this just something that you
that
saw?
That might have just... I think it was in the affected room. It was in the room where they had seen this thing, but I think it was one of the ghosts that might have been hanging around the house.
So
I
don't know if that was the ghosts. Entity.
Yeah, because it's a Victorian house.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, I see this and I go, oh my God. Like, and then the next time I go around the room, I don't see it. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I imagined it. So later on, I mentioned it. And one of my coven members goes, oh my God, you saw that too?
Uh-huh.
Like, seriously, we need to get out of this house. And my mom's like, breathe. My mom is a very level-headed, you know, very level-headed person. She doesn't get spooked or things like that very easily, or at least she tells me if I do, I try not to show it, because what's the point? You have to put up a brave front.
Yeah, so especially if she's leading what's happening. Yeah. If she gets nervous,
she can't
and scared
scream.
Right.
Everyone's
yeah.
gonna
so
run
she, yeah so she's telling us all she's telling we're the two youngest ones in the group, so she's telling us breathe, you know. So
that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So did it just like appear, or did it come into focus, or
I think it just appeared, because as we were running around, I saw this. It literally, it was one of the spookiest things I've ever seen, because I could see eyes, and I could see a mouth, but those were dark.
Ooh.
It wasn't like, I've seen full-blown apparitions that look like peep, you know, like you're in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when I look back, I'm like, well, maybe they were a little see-through and I didn't notice it.
Or blurry or something.
Or blurry. But this was white smoke. It looked like white smoke, and I could just, glowing, and I could just see these shadow eyes, and I'm just like, that's not good.
Yeah, let's
get
out of here.
Haunt my nightmares.
The other apparitions that you've seen, I mean, have you interacted with them? Like, hey, that's, you know, a person, and then suddenly they, I don't know, but
it's not a person.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, no.
Quite interacted. I mean, I've never spoken to one, per se. Like, I've never had them answer me back, thank goodness. I'd like if they didn't. no, honestly, I don't really... I mean, unless I know them, like, if my grandfather appeared and I was sure it was my grandfather, then him I would probably speak to.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
But just a strange...
If it's a stranger, I mean, I don't know who they are. I'm an introvert. I don't like to talk to living people that often. So, you know, dead people, I don't know. We're asking a lot here. But the apparition, like, one of the times, I'll tell you my Marillac story.
Okay.
It was after the summer. It was the end of the summer. It was orientation. I was orientation leader. And I had chosen to live in Marillac because I said to myself, if I skip this and I don't do it, you know, it goes by room lottery, and if I don't do it, I'm going to kick myself.
Right.
Something told me I'm going to kick myself. It's a beautiful building. Got to move in there. But here's the thing. Because I was an orientation leader, I'm moving in ahead of everybody.
Oh.
This is a big, big building.
Were you there alone?
Not completely alone. There was a couple
It's a big building, people.
There was a couple of RAs there. So, but I was... Maybe there was one person per floor.
See, that for me, like, because you know me, I'm not afraid of a lot. But being in a large building alone is too much for me.
Yeah,
or
that's
just with
really...
a few people. So if it's like something like you're, you know, if there should be 50 people there and there's only two or three, I'm out of there.
Yeah.
That's not a good scene for me.
No, yeah. This was like, there was an RA underneath me. So I was on the fourth floor all the way up towards, like, we called it the attic because it was basically, like, it was kind of cool. You would get up to the third floor, and then you had to go up another set of stairs and then up, and it was this little floor.
Again, I'm already freaked out.
It was this little floor. it was quieter because you really couldn't hear, like, you didn't have all the surround
sound.
Sounds
awesome.
It was fantastic, and I love this place. And we didn't get a suite. We weren't high enough on the lottery room to get a suite, which honestly I'm glad we didn't, because a suite was basically two rooms connected by a little hallway and a bathroom. So you had your own room, and mm-hmm. I didn't want my own room. So we took a double. And it was basically almost as big as this room that we're in now, maybe a little wider. And it was a lounge. It had previously been a lounge that they had turned into a dorm room. So it had beautiful French doors, French-style doors, and a chandelier inside. It was really awesome. I was like, mm-hmm. this is perfect. And we were so happy. We bunked the beds. It was fantastic. But my roommate wasn't there yet. She wasn't coming until after orientation, you know, at the very end of it. And so I'm sleeping there by myself. And the RA is beneath me, and then there's maybe two other people in the building, no one else. And I'm sleeping there, and all night, I swear, I'm hearing the doors opening and closing. Mm-hmm. Because they weren't locked, but they weren't shut either. So I'm hearing clicking and everything, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you're imagining it. This is an old, drafty building. You're totally imagining it. Go to sleep. You got to get up early in the morning.
That's the classic beginning to every kind of ghost story, though. Right. Like, nah, I'm just imagining. Creepy.
I always go for the logical explanation first. So next morning, I get up. I get my shower caddy together. And I know I got it. Yeah, because that was another thing.
I'm just remembering college now, of like having to take everything with you to the bathroom. Yeah.
Everything, right? Yeah. So I'm going down because I had to go use the bathroom downstairs. We didn't have a bathroom upstairs, and I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't a suite, so I had to go downstairs. So I get my shower caddy together. I start down the stairs, and then I notice there's someone in front of me. And the first thing I think is it's a student. You know, I'm like, all right, so there's someone in front of me, no big deal, whatever. And I'm like,
this is still in the room.
No. I'm going downstairs.
Going down the hall.
It's a big staircase. Okay. I'm going down. But it's not that long, and this person is going incredibly slow.
On the stairs.
And I'm thinking to myself, what is this girl like? All right, fine. She's going slow. And I looked at her dress. And I remember thinking it was a robe. That's what I initially thought. I said, she's wearing like a long brown robe. I'm like, well, I'm in a white robe, although a short one, but okay, fine. Whatever. You know, I'm walking down the stairs. And then she turns. I'm thinking she's going to, because once you reach the landing, you're on you're on the third floor. That's where the bathrooms are and everything. She keeps going. And I'm thinking, on the side that we were, that was the way to go down into the nun's apartment if you went too far. And so I said, okay, I'm not going to go down. I did that by mistake once and had to be let out. It was funny when I first... But, because you get lost in there. So I'm thinking, where is she going? And I turn to look at her, and I see she has her hair up in, like, a bun. And then I'm like, I'm looking at her, and I'm saying to myself, that's not a robe, that's a dress. And I'm walking off onto the landing now. I'd seen her turn, and I go to look back at her. And she's gone.
No.
Not even walking down the stairs. Nothing. Poof. Gone.
No noise. Nothing.
Nothing. And I'm like, okay. I go into the bathroom, and I shut the door. And now I'm in a bathroom that's an old-fashioned bathroom with a clawfoot bathtub.
Wow.
One of those shower things that goes around.
Oh,
like,
no.
You can't get much creepier.
Yeah. It's like textbook creepy.
Yeah, right? And so I stare in the mirror, and I realize, you just saw a ghost.
Wow.
And I said to myself, okay, think of what Hans Holzer said. He was this big paranormal investigator and researcher, and he always said, talk to them. So I looked right in the mirror, and I said, okay, that's the second time I've seen or have experienced something in this building already in 24 hours. I have to live here. I have 5 English classes this semester. Have pity, and please leave me alone and stop popping out of the woodwork.
Did it work?
Yeah, and okay. I repeated that prayer every time throughout the whole year, because I would be going to bed like 1, 2 a.m., and I would say, I know it's your hour, I know it's late, if you're you know, if you're appearing or something, go poof, because I need to...
Also, you're a creative person already. Yeah. You're working on writing, and so all of these ideas and the time. Yeah.
And it's dark, and it's you're dark, in this old place. It's just, like, I can't even... We told this some of the scary stories here in this room, and if that door creaks a little,
we get freaked out.
You jump out of your seat.
Yeah, or sometimes we're talking and we're doing a Tales from the Tampa, and I just see Katie's gaze shift over towards the window, and I'm like, "What's going on? Like, what's happening?" Because you can, you know, you can kind of spook yourself.
Yeah. Or sometimes, because listeners, we're in the producers. Portion of the studio, and then there's the
where the musicians would be.
The musicians are on the outside through this big glass. There's a big glass window, and
that Katie can see out of where she sits, but I cannot.
Yeah. So, but sometimes
I can just see the wall. I can't see when people come in.
Yeah. So sometimes an intern will come in, and I don't even see them until they're right up against the glass.
Yeah. Because we're so focused on what we're doing, and then literally you look up, and there's a person like.
Scares
you know,
me.
Waving. You got 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of thing. So that's fascinating.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
I wanted to ask, can you talk a little bit about your process, about how you're writing your book?
Oh, my book. Oh, God. I mean, the process, this is my general process. I seem to get story ideas that just, like, an idea will pop into my head where something will spark it. It could be something I'm watching, totally unrelated to ghosts. It could be people I'm interacting with. And then I'll just say, you know what? That would make a good ghost story. And I start writing down notes. And then I try not to write down a lot of notes because I've heard this happens to a lot of writers. We spend so much time writing the notes down that we don't actually get to the writing.
Until
you'll have books of notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where you'll be like, oh, I never got to it at all. So I try not to do that. I'll try to go, okay, I got a character idea, this, that, what have you. And I will do that throughout the process. I'll say, oh, here's an idea. Especially when I used to be working like full-time in the city, I would just write down notes all the time on the bus or on the train or what have you. And I still do it. I have like Moleskine notebooks at home. They're just like overflowing. My father-in-law gives me pads of paper because he gets pads of paper from like all the different things that he's connected with, ARP and everything. And he's always sending me he's got a little basket at home filling up.
So. That's good. So you have endless supply of materials to work in.
So do you go to see like films about spirits and ghosts? Are you into, you know, like any television shows that deal with the supernatural, or are you more like literary with it?
You know, I used to watch a bunch of them. I think I used to watch Taps. That was my big one.
Oh, yes.
I've never seen Taps.
Yes, there it is. It's the plumbers who are they're rooter plumbers by day and at night. They're ghosts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, ghost hunters.
Does Taps stand for something?
Something transatlantic paranormal society, something like that. But it's all, you know, these guys like, you know, unclogging in a toilet. Like, hey, we got to go to, you know. We got to go to the hotel because it's haunted and they're having trouble.
So they're paranormal investigators.
Yes.
Is it a fiction or reality TV?
It's a reality. Yeah. Right. Yeah, they're real.
But what I liked about them was they don't provoke. They just ask whoever's here to speak with them. I don't like shows when I've seen, like, people scream at the ghosts.
Yeah, there was a guy we saw. It was Ralph Saatchi, I think was his name. And he was a cop who's now a paranormal investigator. My husband and I watched one episode of a show. We didn't like it because he was being abusive.
Yeah.
And, like, really provoking, you know, the spirits. And I'm like, you know, once this filming is over, I hope you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because he was really giving it to them in a way that I thought was disrespectful and uncalled for.
Yeah.
And trying to cleanse a house. He cursed at them. I'm like, really? Do you want to do that? Are you sure? You know.
You don't want to do that.
No, you don't.
Because you seem to have this, you're having like the reaction of you don't want to talk to the ghost. You don't want to provoke them. It seems like that's of paramount importance to you. What, was this something your mother taught you? Because obviously other people are trying to, you know, strike up conversations with these spirits.
I've just actually... It's so funny. I mean, my mom makes fun of me all the time. She called me the reluctant medium. I don't know specifically that I'm a medium or
not. It's a great title, people.
But I think that actually people have written, like, whole books on that.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, there's a fiction. I'm not sure by who, but there is a fictional story, I think, called The Reluctant Medium.
I thought we came up with something. Yeah.
It's a great title. But, basically, I've always been terrified of them.
Yeah.
I was the kid.
So you just don't want to,
I was the kid. I wanted to sleep with a nightlight. I sleep by candlelight. You know, I sleep with covers over my head. You know, I do not want to sense them per se. I'm not sure if as a kid I just maybe was just more, you know, if I read a ghost story as a kid, I was spooked.
Yeah.
So bad. Now I'm reading Henry James's The Turn of the Screw.
Mm-hmm.
And even then I'm like, should I have read this before bed? Probably not.
Well, it gets pretty intense.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Maryland, and, you know, we grew up with Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm.
We were terrified as children.
Yeah.
Really?
Because I'm from a rural area, so this would happen around a campfire,
mm-hmm.
and it was always a situation where one adult was telling the story to a bunch of kids. Meanwhile, there's another adult in the woods rustling things, waiting for choice moments to, like, make the right sounds.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying but fun.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it, you know, like, and also we talk about Stephen King. Like, I used to read a lot of Stephen King stuff,
Stephen
which is
King.
Fiction, totally fiction, but,
you He's
know,
terrifying.
Late at night, you're reading it, you try to go to sleep, and then the next thing you know, I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to put the light on.
Yeah.
You know what always gets me? And I read it. It's funny because my mom said you love to be scared in a way. I'm like, I must because
it's fun.
I'll read it even though I know it's going to spook me. When I read The Shining and I get to the bathroom scene,
that
woman's
coming
out.
That book is terrifying.
When that woman's coming out, that's my favorite part. When he writes about the ghost, I'm not really so into like Jack losing his mind and.
I feel like that's kind of not as interesting and distracts from the paranormal aspect of the story.
I guess, for me, it's like it's when he gets really violent. Like, when he's at the end, like, going nuts and starting to bang people with the the mallet? That's it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even read this.
You
know, it's too violent for me. I really don't love violence. And that was something my mom raised me with, because she never let me watch... Her dad never let me watch, like, Freddy Krueger like that.
I never really watched those. Did you watch those? Like, Nightmare on Elm Street?
A little bit.
I don't like slasher movies.
Not much. No.
She didn't see it in me, and she didn't encourage it. And there was, like, when we were kids, and, you know, the kids would come up, trying to scare you with that, and I went, who is that?
Oh, the Freddy Krueger?
They couldn't even scare me, because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
You're like, you're wearing a striped vest.
Yeah.
And you have knives.
Watch this. I forget what the name of it. It's like kind of a documentary about shadow people.
Mm.
And they were saying that Freddy Krueger
is a shadow
person.
So we, on the show, we have a couple of different types of paranormal entities that we've focused on. And we become fascinated by the concept of the shadow people.
Okay.
And the another one that we talk about a lot is like a brownie or a Tokolosh. It has different names in different cultures. But there's something interesting about the shadow people.
And the hat man.
And the guy who wears a hat. That's why, so when you go to check out Tara Teresa Hill's stuff, you'll see she has a really interesting image on the ghost post. It is a skeleton ghost, is that correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Very dapper.
Yes.
Wearing a hat. He's got a foulard, or is that a tie? and he's reading.
No,
the
he's
paper.
Got a tie, and he has a nice, a slim
it's
fit.
Like a fedora.
Yeah, he's got a fedora.
Blazer.
And it reminds us of, a lot of people say they see, when they see shadow people, the shadow person is often rocking a fedora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, which I find fascinating. That's why I loved, you know, we talked about this before, like the hat. Mm-hmm. There's something interesting about that.
But this is more along with the reporter kind of a
flair. Well, maybe the shadow person was a reporter as well. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? So if people are looking to find you on the internet and they want to know more about the Spirit Hour or the Ghost Post, where can they do so?
Okay, well, the best place would be to go to my Facebook page, which is just basically Tara Teresa Hill and then author. Tara Teresa Hill, author. If you look that up on Facebook, you should be able to find me. I'm the one with the goofy grin, and then you'll see Spook in the background. I'm also on Twitter at Tara Teresa Hill. Teresa has an H in it, so Theresa. And the Spirit Hour is my ghost story magazine that I recently started. And
I have a copy of it right here, people. It's very cool. A lot of good stories. And it is incredibly economical.
Yes.
I think you sold this for $1. I would say it's worth at least $10.
Yes. Actually, yeah.
Because there's a lot of stories.
Oh, thank you. Well, actually, the Spirit Hour is through Patreon. And if you just, it's a dollar. Okay. It's a dollar a month. So it comes out to, I think, $12 a year.
Nice.
And then basically I'm gonna be doing a story a month on that. So
yeah.
A lot of writing.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. That's so great. We're going to have links to all of this stuff up on the podcast.
Right.
And is there anything else you want to mention, something that you're working on or something coming up? Are you going to be doing any more conferences, or was this kind of like a one-off thing, or your first time?
Well, it was my first time. That was my first time being a vendor, and it was a totally wonderful experience. Everybody was so supportive, you know, and I mean, I was just floored that I was, you know, invited to be there. It was so, so wonderful, and I had a great time, and the neighborhood was great, and I definitely want to do more of them. You know, not only that one, I started looking, you know, I said, well, if sci-fi and paranormal overlap, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, someday, hopefully, maybe I'll even be at Comic-Con someday.
I don't see why not. I went to a Comic-Con a couple of years ago in Canada, and I went to, the two women were giving a very intellectual talk on Hammer Films. This was a studio that made horror films. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't a horror fest, it was a Comic-Con. But they were there, and it was an interesting departure, same as yours, from
sometimes you need that. You can't. You're so inundated.
You get too tracked out or too Comic-Con'd out. You want something like Ghost Post.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a wonderful presentation, and I'm really happy that you were able to come in. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for being here. It was really great, and I can't wait to go and read more and visit the Patreon site as well.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It was great being here, too.
So hopefully we can have you back sometime, and we'll keep talking about as you're... So these are coming out once a month?
Well, the Ghost Post is going to be actually, that's going to be twice a month.
Okay.
The Ghost Post is twice a month, and then the Spirit Hour is once a month. I'm just going to put up a story, and it'll be a different one every month, once the new one finishes, because I'm just, one more week and I'm finishing this one.
Can people still give you their stories to retell?
Oh, of course,
okay.
Yeah.
You're not, like, loaded up already?
No, no. You know what? I'm always collecting them, because honestly, you know... It's amazing how fast you go through them. You're like, oh, I have like 12. That's great. And they're like, oh, now I have 4. Oh, dear. No, by all means, please send me an email.
All right, you heard of people. Do so. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.